Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. Hope you're having a great day. You are listening to or watching Service Business Mastery Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tersh Blissett, sitting across the table from my co-host, Joshua Crouch. And we have the world-famous Lance Pachman on the show today. Super honored. Seen Lance. I'm on TikTok more than I should be.
Yes, you are.
I'll admit that.
I'll admit it, too.
I see it, Lance, you're on my feed. For you page all day long. Like, I just see it at all. And it's great advice, too, because, I don't know, pardon my French, you call people on their shit. You know, it's like when I hear your stuff, it's like, ouch, that's kind of rough. But then it's like, damn, he's right.
Josh, Tersh, thank you guys for having me. I love the podcast. Love what you guys are doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So for those people who don't know who you are, your background, can you share that? It's a lot. I want to preface this. You're going to be probably overwhelmed a little bit, but you have a massive story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm Lance Bachman from Northeast Philly, Bucks County. I grew up in group homes, foster care systems, got locked up when I was younger, crazy family history, changed my whole life around. High school, one of the best high schools in the country, I think, Count to Rock. So very fortunate for that. I helped open my eyes to what money and the real families are and good people. When you come from bad environments, you see good environments, you're like, you pick the one.
Wow, yeah.
I went to the good environment. You know, started business, started one SEO. I was vice president of AT&T, one of the founders of YellowPages.com. Got to 159 million, left there, started one SEO.
You were one of the founders?
Yeah. We started at a hotel conference room in King of Prussia, believe it or not, the whole premise division.
Wow.
Yeah, Neil Salvage hired me. He was great guy, great mentor. That was actually when Bell South and AT&T, it was a pilot, YellowPages.com. If you remember, it was actually SBC and Bell South, and then AT&T wind up coming back with the merger of Bell South. And so, yeah, it worked out for me. I actually went from being their first outside employee to actually the vice president full officer of the whole entire country and wind up running all YellowPages.com for the country.
Wow.
Opened up 20 offices in less than 2 years, 900 plus employees in 2 years.
Wow.
It was actually...
How did you exit from that company? And how did that exit work as far as like Yellow Pages in general?
So what people don't realize is, you know, when you go to work for corporate America, you don't get, you know, equity, you get stock options, right? So when I became a full officer, I was a stock option and it worked out well for me. Listen, if you'd have told me when I was a kid in high school that I was going to be making in corporate America, being the vice president, $500,000 to $1 million a year with stock options, I'd say a full shit, right?
Wild.
And it's good money. I was young, aggressive. Like you said, I'm a very direct person. I have no problem calling anyone their shit, you know, and I climbed the ladder from being general manager to area VP to a director to an area VP to a full officer. I had great mentors there, Charles Stubbs, Danny Deal, Neil Salvage, like some of the greatest people. After doing that, my brother Joe OD'd on heroin and died. I was living in California. I was probably 290 pounds, fat, out of shape. I actually went through a divorce. I was only married, I think, for like 90 days less.
Oh, wow. I mean, is that technically a divorce or an annulment?
I guess it depends. You could probably get it annulled.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the funny story is I didn't want to get married. Like, I actually called the wedding off 2 times, and her mom sat me down and was like, you know, we paid for this wedding, and this isn't right, and she loves you, and I'm like...
Well, that worked out well.
Obviously, you knew what
she was probably should have skipped those conversations.
Something
back, wasn't right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but there was a kid involved. She had a kid. So, I mean, like, you just...
That's tough.
You know... I don't regret it. You know, it taught me to appreciate and love my wife that I have now that much more because I thank God every day I'm with my wife. I'm nothing bad about my ex-wife. She's actually a good person, good human being. But, you know, I actually got married, and most people don't know this. I was so miserable at the time. I jumped on a plane and then come home for 90 days. My brother OD'd, and that's what made me come home.
Wow.
I was traveling from office to office to office. And then when my brother OD'd, that was it. It was over. So 2 years to date, my brother died. I walked into my CEO, Charles Stubbs' office, and at that time, I was ready to kill myself. I was going to blow my head off. I was miserable, depressed, making great money. And I was like, listen, I got to go, man. I wasn't even sure I was going to do it. Even though I was going to start my own company, I just knew. You know, I remember coming home, and everyone was like, the fuck did you do, man? Like you're the
like, why'd you do this?
The successful Bachman ever, you know? All my brothers have been in jail. Just a whole fucked up childhood life. And, you know, I was like, I was going to kill myself. Like, and, you know, after about 6 months, so I knew I was going to go on my own. I started One SEO. I knew I had a goal to be the best digital marketer in the country.
How long ago was that?
15 years ago.
Okay.
I think about 3-4 years into One SEO, I was the best digital marketer by far in the country. I don't think there was anyone that could touch me. True understood every ounce of SEO, PPC, the full funnel approach, conversions, tracking, understand really the mindset of the end user. Looking to purchase something, which I think most people don't take.
Did you do more than just the trades?
Oh, yeah. We did lawyers. I did lawyers. We did dentists. We did a lot. And, I mean, the same theory applies, right? What does the end user, what's that emotion when they're searching for something? And then after I got that, I realized, yeah, I'm the best digital marketer in the country. I'm talking. If I'm not making real money, I'm making good money. And I was like, man, I gotta turn this into a business. Me and my sister, we started hiring, expanding, growing. And then obviously I sold that to private equity about 7-8 months ago. And my ex-sister-in-law stayed on. She's the CEO. So it was actually funny because Bill Rozell is now the CEO of LB Capital, effective Monday, right? But I passed him over for CJ Bachman, you know, probably 7 years ago when I announced that she was gonna be the CEO of One SEO, and just different personalities, different people. I just think at that time she was the best option to take One SEO into the future. And now hindsight's 2020, Bill was really like disappointed, and we went through adversity, and now he is naming the CEO of LB Capital, which is a lot bigger organization than One SEO.
Now, what does that do? What does LB Capital do?
So we partner with companies, and not just, and most people think it's just roofing companies. I own HVAC companies, as you know. I own roofing companies. I own two technology companies, Titan Pro and Shock IT. And I look at it, you know, LB Capital.
Like that's the one down there?
Oh, yeah, it's my company too.
Oh, I had no idea.
It's my company too. Yeah, most people don't because, you know, most people don't know. And we're actually branding that to home service technologies. Right.
What does that do?
So we do all, we're going to do Titan support, we're going to do Sierra support, House Call Pro support.
Okay.
So you rebrand it so you have more pathways.
Correct. Yep. And we do it now, but everyone just thinks we're Titan.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So
makes sense.
Shock IT has over 100 plus employees, and we do all managed services, data security.
The Shock IT that's down there?
I own that also.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
What company right don't you own in this hallway over
down
here?
Down that hallway over there?
Well, it's funny. I almost bought Kick Charge before Tommy did.
That's funny.
And me and Dan were working on that, and we just never could make it happen, which I regret that because I wish that would have went to my portfolio. Great guy. So LB Capital, we partner with companies to grow them to where people want to exit and really have companies that are life-changing money from private equity firms to buy. So we put all the systems in place, all the leadership in place, so you don't have to stay or you want to stay. We scale it, we grow it, we make sure the EBITDA is there. And obviously after doing it now, exiting multiple times, I know the process of selling companies.
So how does that work for contractors that, you know, want to get in that world and they think in the next 3 to 5 years that's what they want to do?
So I get anywhere between 10 to 20 messages a day by text message or DMs of people asking me to partner. And the first thing I do is, we're buying a company right now. I'm Vegas right now, right? He only does $2 million, right? But he's a good guy, ex-military guy, father, has all the checks I want, right? You know, for a partner, you know, if I'm going to do this shit and I don't have to anymore, I want to do it with some people I like, right? Like, I always say this to people, you don't need to build some great 20 people. You need 2 or 3 great people you enjoy being around. And you can build something really, really great. And that's what made me go get Bill. I knew for me to say, I'm going to go build LB Capital, be great. I needed a great CEO. And I was interviewing people from all over. And it just kept coming back to Bill and kept coming back to Bill. I was like, Bill, listen, come meet me. I'm like, it wasn't an option not to get him. And for, you know, contractors, whether it be roofing or even a technology company or an HVAC company, I sold my painting company. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're a good human being and you hit those check marks and you want to partner, I tell people, I don't buy. I partner. I put money into the business account to grow the business. I'm not giving you a check to get fat and lazy, the Jamar Russell. And I'm very direct about it. So I'm very to the point of, if you think you're going to get fat and happy off of me, you're dead wrong. We're going to bust our ass together. We're going to grow something great. And we're going to celebrate together when we sell.
I like that.
How long before you, do you have a plan to sell when you buy?
Yeah, I mean, nothing's lasted more than 24 months yet, but I'm hoping something does.
So you want it to last longer than that?
I would like to get something like the Munns Roofing. I mean, I just bought Munns Roofing in June of this year, July of this year. We've really got it going. And in October, we had our first $2 million month. Doesn't sound like a lot of revenue, but $2 million in retail roofing. We do no commercial. We do no storm chasing. $2 million of just retail revenue right there, you know? And I own other companies. Obviously, I sold Cherry Roofing, and I just sold that to Vertex.
Okay.
Yeah, I took that from 2 to 10 to 18 million and sold that.
And that was in less than 2 years?
14 months.
14 months. Does market location, does that make a difference to
you? I don't think market location makes a difference. I think it's a story that people tell themselves. Obviously, population makes a difference, right?
Yeah, you have enough opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, if you're down in, I'm going to give you, we're in Florida right now. I mean, Orlando's a great market, but if you're out in, I'm not trying to say this in a bad way, out in the middle of the sticks and the population is 50,000 for the whole county. Well, if you got a 1% penetration rate, that's going to put you at 500 people, right? I mean, that's just not enough. I mean, you 2%. So you got to look at density. The markets that people say are hard. Philadelphia, that's considered the hardest HVAC capital of the country. That in Vegas. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. You got the...
I believe it with Vegas.
There's Vegas.
Philadelphia, dollars. Vegas. Think about Philadelphia. You got Dave Geiger there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Think about all the companies he owns. Hutchinson. I just rattle them off. Rise. He owns all the big boys, so you're competing with them. I think, to answer your question directly, I'm looking for good operators, people that... I want success stories. I don't want the kid that thinks they're entitled to it or the partner to say, I want the guy that's had been locked up. I want the guy that was in rehab. I want the recovering alcoholic. I want the guy that has some type of story. I don't want the kid that
wants a redemption story.
Yeah. I mean, winners win and losers lose. And I love this is the greatest country in the world. This is a comeback story of the world if you want to. And, I just love those stories.
Yeah, I think we all do because it's an underdog story. That's why those... you go to the movie theater, you go, everyone shows up for the underdog movie because they love it. It makes them feel good. It's the Rudy.
Absolutely.
The football. I mean, I still watch that movie. That movie's great. You always have that, especially when they play the music, and it really builds up the moment. But so when it's an application process?
Yeah. I mean,
so what does that look like? Obviously,
I don't even get back to 90% of them. It's the people that are the most persistent. The one guy asked me the other day, he's like, why him? I'm like, dude, you fucking texted me 100 times. You followed up. If you're that persistent to get to me, when I give you opportunity, you're probably going to go all in. Make sense? It's the guys and girls that text me once or twice or DM me once. I owe you a response.
Yeah.
A guy just asked me the other day, this morning I'll show it to you. He said, love to part with you. I do roofing insurance. I do home service insurance. Love to have you part. He's like, let's go to dinner. And I responded nicely, I don't go to dinner, which I don't. I don't go to dinner with anyone besides my wife and my children. I just don't. I don't have the time.
Do you have a reason for that?
I don't have 2 hours, 3 hours to give you.
Yeah, okay.
It's just, I own multiple businesses. I said, what I'll do though is I give people 30 minutes. And that's not being rude. I appreciate them saying, let's go to dinner. But by the time I drive to a location, it's a half hour to an hour. I'm going to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours with you. And now I'm at 3 hours. It just doesn't work out.
I mean, it's got to be a slam dunk. I mean, otherwise, great. We have a relationship now, but it's a waste of time.
But this is real easy to get down to.
Yeah.
What's your numbers? What are you looking for? In 30 minutes, I can tell you if we're going to the next step. 15 minutes. 15 minutes. What are your numbers? What's your vision? What's your net? Okay. How many techs do you have? How many salespeople do you have? Really? Okay. No problem.
You mentioned that there was a $2 million company. What's in your mind, that business needs to be running very efficiently on its own at that point, or?
$2 million, you better be lean and mean, or you're going to lose money.
So, what net are you looking for at that price?
I'm not even looking for a net. I don't care if you're losing money at $2 million. If you had the same vision as me, you're probably not looking for me if you're running that 15, 20% at $2 million, right? It's the guy that said 7%, 10%, and they can't. get it up and move forward and keep going, right? Yeah. That's the issue, right? So, you know, you really got to look at it and say, you know, what's your end goal? The only partner I'm looking for is someone that wants to sell to private equity in 36, 48 months max and get a big fuck you check and change your life.
You don't want anybody that's trying to create like a generational
type off the table.
Business.
Think about that. Generational type business. What does that mean? What is the arrogance?
Like you're going to hand down the business
to your son?
Or,
and what happened if you're so I got four sons, right?
What if they don't want it?
And then that's the biggest thing.
You build it and then they don't want it. Now you have nothing. What are you going to do now?
So my son LJ, right? He says to me all the time, Dad, I want to own businesses like you. I want to own businesses like you. I want to be like you, Dad, right? He's 10 years old, right? And I believe he will own businesses one day, but it ain't going to be my businesses. Like I say to him, I love you. You are going to have to want to do it. Makes sense?
Yeah.
I'll give you the money. I'll help you build it. But I have no right to tell my son to go into HVAC. Think about this. I've owned painting I sold, roofing, HVAC, digital marketing agency. I own IT companies still. I own bars and restaurants. I own buildings. Like, who am I tell my son what his future is? Like, who am I?
That's a really good point. Let me ask you this. How much of the operation side of the business, the technical side of the business is, do you know? Like,
no, I've never sold a roof. I never sold HVAC. I never did a roof. I never did HVAC. I've never painted a house. I never sold a house to paint. IT, I know nothing about IT and your Wi-Fi and backup services. Titan Pro, I've never been on a sales call for Titan support. I am the dumbest man in the room. I surround myself with great people. I don't say that rudely. I truly believe I'm the dumbest guy in the room, and I surround myself with great people, and that's it.
How can somebody surround themselves with great people if they don't have a bankroll? Like, they don't have extra cash, and they're like, I'm just starting out, or I've been doing this for 5 years, and we're hemorrhaging cash every day. I'm getting loans from banks or whatever the case. I'm credit card in debt or whatever. I need a CFO. I need a controller. I need somebody else to be doing these things.
Because this is why, right? And this is what most people don't realize. And people will say this all the time. When I was a young guy and I was single, I didn't have a pot to piss in, and people followed me. I did well dating. I did well having friends. I did well every place I worked. I was the boss for the most part. Even when I bounced, I got, like, it sounds stupid, but you have a head of security. And I'm the smallest guy, and I got animals that are working for me, right? I'm the smallest guy. And I'm probably not even the toughest guy, right? But they respected me, how I talk, how I communicate. People don't understand it. It's not about the money you pay people. It's about the vision, about getting them into you. People want to be and go into battle with people they'd like. And they would, like, nobody wants to. I'll give you a perfect example. A guy I gave a job to, right, begged me for a job for about 2 years. He was a school teacher at Germantown Academy. I don't want to say his name. He went into sales. Germantown Academy has probably made a total of 40, 50 grand a year, total teaching, coaching, wrestling. I know him through wrestling because of my kids. I said, fuck it. Let me give this kid a job. He just keeps woodpeckering. I think he made $200,000, right? After I sold the company, he wound up leaving inside of 6 months. And it really changed everything to me because I said to him, I said, dude, you begged me for this job. Why did you leave? He's like, man, I just wasn't working with my friends anymore. I just wasn't. You've got more money than you've ever made. He's like,
didn't matter.
Not worth it.
It wasn't.
So I think when you ask that question, I don't think you need a ton of cash. I think you need to be able to communicate to people, having them believe in you. And if you're going to deliver on what you say you're going to do, and people can see it in your eyes, people know if you're going to fucking deliver.
Right.
I'm going to deliver. I'm like the fucking pizza man in a snowstorm. I'm coming.
Domino's, 30
I'm
minutes
coming.
Or less.
I won't quit. And my sons know. And I tell my sons, there's times I can't be with my family. There's times I can't be with my wife. I tell them, I'm fucking winning. I'm a winner. And to be a winner, you have to sacrifice.
That's a mic drop right there.
it's
true.
Yeah,
it really is. How many times do you have that conversation with your family? You obviously, you're traveling. You're here, always going somewhere. I do see videos of you in your office. I assume you're there. But you must travel the country to do certain things, aspects of it. So whenever you have that conversation with your kids and your wife, how does that go?
My wife doesn't care. I'm not being rude. My wife.
No, yeah, I get it.
It's how we started out, right? Yeah. Like, my wife met me.
She's known that from day one.
Day one. My wife knows what she married.
Yeah.
Like, I think my wife loves me. I hope she does. I'm not saying that, like, you never know, right? But I think my wife knows what she married. And she knows if I don't keep going, you know, it's going to be problems for us probably in our marriage, because if I'm not out there hitting the pavement, building things, being productive.
Did she ever say, hey, look, you need to, you've been here too long?
Nah, she has done that. You know, my kids, though, I talk.
My wife does that. That's the reason why I ask, because she's like, you need to be hustling a little bit more.
Get out of
like,
here.
Damn it, Julie.
My children, I'm very honest with my son, LJ and Hammer, David doesn't stand. I tell them the only time I leave them is when I feel like I'm giving abundance to people. And abundance means this was a great trip, right? I got to be with my team. We had a great dinner last night. Went up to the sushi place. I met some great people. And, you know, I've gotten to give people a lot of advice. People giving me a lot of advice. I learned a lot here in the last 2 days. And my children, I tell them, I'll never leave them unless it's for them. Because I don't go on boys' trips anymore. I don't go to the bars anymore with guys. They're just things I don't do, right? So my children know when I'm leaving them, it's to add value for them, for their future.
Okay, so with that being said, because I'm in the exact same situation, I have 3 boys and a daughter, and we have a very similar conversation whenever I'm leaving. They're excited for me because they know that I'm going to podcasts.
There's a reason. You're not going to party.
Exactly. They know that I'm not going out to with the boys. What about with your wife? Like, Julie and I, we're going to Mexico next month, and we've not ever gone to Mexico before, and we're going to go away for a week for our 10-year, well, actually our 11-year anniversary, because we skipped our 10-year anniversary last year.
You and your wife.
Podcasting, yeah.
Yeah.
The conversation you have with your boys at that point, like, hey, we're going to go together, and we're not abandoning you.
Listen, that's simple. I call it pipe night to my sons. It's pipe night, but I say this, do you guys want a new dad? And they're like, what? I'm like, do you want a new dad? And they're like, what? I'm like, do you want a new dad? No. Well, if I don't go out with mom tonight, and she don't have fun, and she doesn't feel good about herself, there's going to be another man living here.
That's hilarious. How old are your boys again?
10 and 8. 10. They get it. But that's the truth, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They got to understand that. Like,
I love that honesty. I mean, that it is there.
Listen, the quickest way for someone to scoop your woman is when she don't feel good about herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
I just love how direct that is.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
That's
great.
I told you, Josh.
You're going to make me get on TikTok and follow Lance now.
It's just, think about it. I mean, you can't scoop a woman that feels good about herself in a relationship.
Yeah, 100%.
Every woman I've ever scooped felt like shit, and I made her feel good with a smile, a hello, and her man. Like, so for me, and me and my wife have had our problems 15 years together now almost, like anyone else, anyone tells you they don't go through ups and downs, but now, you know, we're planning the trip in 2 weeks because my wife has to get heart surgery. I'm like, before the heart surgery, we're going to go. So I'm going to take off a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which I've never done in history of like working and going away with just my wife. And we're going to pick a place and just go and hang out for 2 nights because she needs it. I mean, I don't need it, like not being rude. I love my wife, but
no, I feel
she
you
needs
100%.
It. She takes care of all my children. I mean, it's a brutal job being a mom. I think being a mom's the hardest job in the world,
being
100%. Honest. We're having fun here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is a fun 2 days. Like, I hear I'm miserable. I see it in your guys' faces. Like, it's a good time. You get to get up, you can go to a gym, you get to work out, you meet a lot of great people, you're having a fun time, you're learning, you're doing things you like. My wife's home driving kids to football, wrestling, having them fight with each other, throwing glue. Like, it's a fucking nightmare.
My wife's doing that, and she has drill this weekend, so she's doing her military duties too. And
thank her for her service.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank
you. I absolutely will. And so she's juggling all of that and making sure the kids are on the bus and she's home by the time they're back and picking up from football. I feel you 1,000%. I love that analogy though, because sometimes, mainly our youngest, feels a little left out whenever it's mom and dad going. And we're going to spend a week.
How old's your youngest?
9.
Okay, so you just say to him.
9 and 10. And
but then, he's old enough to understand, though. And this is the thing.
She's emotional. And her older brother that's 10, he could care less. He's like, cool.
See ya.
Y'all have fun.
So my oldest one is the one that's 10. And he's the one that kind of is like your daughter. But when I explained to him, like, listen, eventually mom will be with another man.
Yeah.
She's not. See, you have to have some mom and dad time. Like, think about all the things you did to pull your girl.
Yeah.
And then when you get married, like, I've been there with my own wife, like, where I said to her, like, man, we're like two ships passing in the night.
Yeah.
Like, I said that to her probably like a month ago, she'll tell you, be honest. Like, we're just driving. Wait, we're two ships passing the night. Like, this won't work if we keep going like this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then we're like, all right, we're going away. Just like that. Like,
it's crazy.
Because you get into your routines, your funks.
Yeah.
I mean, life comes at you. There's real things. You got bills, you got mortgages, you got car payments,
well,
you got tuition.
The businesses will take over. Like, they take over I'm sure there's a lot of people here that can relate to that. They take over their life, and they feel like they got to keep giving to their business, and they don't give to the personal life. That's been a story that Tommy and Al shared this morning, and some other people that have shared on stage. And a lot of people get caught up in that, and they forget the home life. They forget to take care of the people that matter the most.
This is a true story, silly. Anyone listening or watching, silly. I said to my sister, Jolynn, who I didn't know, my brother died. I actually met my sister at my brother's funeral because my dad took my two sisters down to Florida when we were kids, just left me and my two brothers in an abandoned house. We came home from school and all the furniture was gone. He packed up, slept his shoe. We had no clue what happened. Like, yo, did we get robbed? What? We were living in the city. We're like, did we get robbed? You know what I mean? So we stayed there for probably, back then, it feels like probably 2-3 months. It was probably 2-3 weeks. DHS came, got us. We didn't want to go back to the group homes and foster care systems. So we just stayed living there, robbing people, stealing. But so my sister, I said, come start one SEL with me, right? And she was like, all right, let's go. I was paying her, I think, $400 a week cash.
And you had just met her? How old was she?
At the time? So it's 15 years ago, maybe 50, so I was 35. She was probably 25.
Oh, wow,
26.
And that's the first time you met. Okay. Just brought her right on.
About 2-3 months later.
Okay.
So actually, 2 years later. I met her at the funeral, and I started my company 2 years later.
Okay.
My brother died.
Okay.
So, make a long story short, over 100 employees at 1SEL. I bring everyone together into the training room. I built this thing with my fucking bare hands. I worked Christmases, Christmas Eve, you name it, 4th of July's. I mean, you name it. I paid the ultimate sacrifice. And I've been rewarded.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, right? To build 1SEL. And when I sold, I introduced the new people, and I put a leadership team in place that didn't even change. CJ's still there. BJ's still there. All the directors, Steve, Mike, like all these great people that are still there, right? The only person I was taking with me was Jolynn, right? My CFO and my assistant. And six people. I know all six people that came up, congratulated me, hugged me. Over 100 people didn't say a word to me, walked out, and just went right back to work. I don't talk to anyone but probably those six people. Not in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah.
Just life moves on.
Damn.
Just remember that when you're building this business, but know who's going to be there when I die? My children.
That's right.
And my wife, even if we were to ever get divorced, which I hope we don't, I do believe my wife loves me and would be there and would be heartbroken. So you have to take care of that, and you remember your family is the most important thing. For me, my family is.
Yeah.
My family is everything for me.
Right.
People say my actions speak it.
I was naturally curious about that fact because it's so often we hear of husbands neglecting their whole family because, like, I got 12 businesses, I got two businesses, I got one business, and I'm just neglecting the whole family, ignoring them, and then you get home and you're mentally ignoring them, and
I've been there.
That was a story Al Levy shared this morning. That was his basement, whatever, rock bottom moment.
Yeah,
and it was, hey, I need a change.
Yeah,
absolutely. I've been
this
there.
Can't keep happening.
Listen, anyone that tells you they're not there, they're full of shit. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, it's funny, you know, I used to be so ashamed of my childhood telling people, like, I was locked up when I was younger. That, you know, I remember I tried painting this picture of me, like, when I was in my 20s, I went to Council Rock and I went to college. And I grew up wealthy and I never wanted to know people know I was locked up. I didn't want to know people know my brothers were drug addicts and my mom was an alcoholic. Like, and my dad was I just fucking pretty much, like, made this whole. I remember I was driving with this girl, she's a school teacher, I think she's still a school teacher at Council Rock, and she was molested by her uncle. I hope you edit that part because I don't want to put that there, who she was. But she was, so a girl I was dating, she was molested by her uncle, and we're kind of getting kind of like, not serious, but like, and I couldn't believe she told me that because, like, not that I was judging, I was curious, like, why you would say such a thing. We're only dating, we're hanging out for probably 2 weeks at this point. And she said, listen, I know who you are. I'm like, what? She's like, the only person you're lying to when you go around and tell people you're a Council Rock kid, you grew up wealthy and rich, is yourself. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, the worst person you lie to is the person in the mirror, Lance. And she's like, I know you were in jail. She's like, I know you were locked up. But she, I knew all that before I went on a date with you.
Wow.
She's like, I just knew you were a fun guy and cool as shit, and I went to hang out with you. So that didn't bother me. She's like, well, I'm not going to lie to you about my story. Because once I start doing that,
I'm lying to myself.
That's deep for hanging out for 2 weeks.
And but literally, no one though. And me and her never, and I never really spoke to her too much after I hung out maybe a week or two. But I kept coming back to that. And finally, one day, I was like, fuck it, why? Like, people started bringing it up, like, but you were in jail. You were in Glen Mills. You were in New Life. You were in Bucks County Prison. You were here. And I was like, no, why the fuck am I denying this? It's part of my story. As soon as I started putting it out there, you'd be surprised. Everybody's like, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah, really.
If you don't touch women and you don't touch kids, no one really gives a
shit. And the more you deny it, that's when they start caring. That's when they start bringing
like
it up.
You're hiding something else.
Everybody knows a family member that was in jail. Everybody knows a family member that struggled with drugs. Everyone knows poor people, right? Like, I was so ashamed of being poor. And I'm like, everyone, things are not what they seemed. And the people with money are better at masking their problems. And, like, that's why I tell people, like, I'm very honest with people and direct, like you said. I cheated on my wife when I was younger. I made mistakes. She stayed with me, thank God. Like, I made a ton of mistakes, and people want to act like they're perfect. And that's why I think growing doesn't happen. That's why I think all these people on social media, they're fucking idiots. Like,
create the social media version of yourself, and then people are like,
that's just the version you want people to see.
Being vulnerable, I believe, like you said, letting that stuff be out there, people trust you even more. And sure, we all want to, you know, emulate somebody who has a perfect life, or they've made no bad decisions.
Well,
it
looks
life,
perfect on social media.
Yeah.
But what's perfect?
Exactly.
I say this to people, wait, you never got locked up? Like, listen, no offense. You know, someone said to me, would you want to marry a virgin, right? Because their religion said they want to marry. I'm like, no, I don't want to marry a virgin. I want someone who knows what they're doing. I want somebody with some experiences.
Teach anybody something, dude.
Not being rude.
I want you to know.
And then be weird about the shit. Like, I don't know.
Like, I want someone with some experience. Like, this ain't a car. That's just 1,000 of them out there. Like, I don't drive a car. Like,
right.
If you want people with experience, like, I want to hang out with guys that have been in a fist fight. I want to hang out with guys that know they've been in a struggle. I don't want to hang out with someone that, you know, never faced adversity. Like, experiences make you. Experiences matter.
Yeah, 100%. Because once that person faces adversity, the perfect person that's never had a bar brawl or anything like that, are they going to buckle? What are they going to do? You can't depend on that person. Like, are they going to turn tail and run? Or are they going to stand behind you? No matter how much of a big game they talk, you don't know unless you have experienced something.
Adversity makes monsters.
It does. But what do you say to somebody who's not, because they're not a goody two-shoe type person, but they just have never been in a situation where they, like their parents weren't alcoholics, so their dad didn't leave, their parents never got divorced, like they didn't face that adversity.
But I would say to you, walk into a bar, tap a guy on the shoulder, say fuck you.
Get
into one fist fight.
See what happens.
Get into two. Yeah. Get your ass kicked. Yeah. You have a little humble pie in life. Like, you gotta have some type of, like, there has to be some type of, like, manhood to a man.
Just to say, like, okay, I'm like an accountant with this, been never gotten to a fight, never had a knife pulled on you, never done nothing. It's tough. I agree with you.
You just use the example of an accountant, right? The first people, when people were trying to grow their business or sell or increase their business, they say, I want to go check with my accountant, right? And see if I can fit this in the budget. And I laugh. I say, why would you check with the person that probably has 1, 2, or 3, or 4 people working for him total? He doesn't have a build mindset. He doesn't even understand what you're trying to build.
Yeah.
So you're going to ask a bean counter for advice.
The risk-adverse person that doesn't want to get sued
by
the IRS.
The person's not
going to
take risks.
So, like, you got to ask who you're looking for advice. And that's where, you know, it's funny. You go to the gym here at 6 in the morning, right? You got good shape. I mean, 6 in the morning, and I said, the contractors are all in there working out.
Yeah. We got here this morning at, like, 7 o'clock, and they're all coming out of the gym.
Yeah. I mean, but they were working out, right?
Yeah.
But, like, you need people that understand. I mean, listen, I don't think, you know, let me articulate. I don't think there's anything wrong growing up like my kids are going to grow up. But my kids wrestle and play football.
What you're saying about your sons is exactly what I was trying to get out. Like, because your kids aren't growing up the same way
that
you grew up.
Why don't you just say it?
I wasn't thinking about it. Shut your mouth. Let's mute.
So my, you want your kids, like, the coaches that coach my kids in football, right? So I'll give you a perfect example, right? My sons play football, right? They play quarterback. There's a lot of pressure in that position, even at a young age. These coaches want to win. I help coach. And a gentleman came up to me. He's like, I don't like the way that this one particular coach talks to my son. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
Like, is that your work? Well, my son.
What happens
son,
in the real world?
My son feels uncomfortable. And I was like, yo, dude, Your son feels uncomfortable because you feel uncomfortable. I see my son, and I appreciate this. I'd say when a coach grabs my son's face mask or headgear and talks to him and raises their voice, I appreciate
it. They need that sometimes.
And
100%.
And it shows the coach cares. The coach cares.
Because if they didn't do it, if they just blew you off, then they don't give a shit.
I pulled my son off the one team that his coach wasn't coaching him.
Oh, he wasn't.
It was a horrible experience, and my son wasn't getting better. And so, like, you gotta realize, like, if you wrestle, you play football, or you put your kids in adverse positions, like, this is how much I believe in adversity, right? The backup quarterback to my son, LJ, Sonny's a great quarterback, he's a good player, athletic, and his dad's a great guy. Where my son goes to privates for quarterback lessons, I told him to bring his son because I want my son to be pushed.
Yeah. He can't have an easy run.
Like, I want to see Sonny be
successful. If they just think that they get it because they showed up, that's the problem. And then that carries on through life.
I want little Sonny to be successful because I love Sonny now after 3 years with him. He's a great kid. His dad's an awesome person. His mom became friends, right? So I want to be successful. I know they're not going to go to the same high school, but I'm preparing Sonny to challenge LJ.
Yeah.
Because my son needs adversity.
I like it. I mean,
I have a different mindset.
Manufactured diversity.
Yeah, I'm not just going to send my kid in, but my son's wrestle. I wrestle my son's up.
Wrestling's like one of the best sports for adversity because laying on your back, looking up at the sky, and nobody except for the ref is going to stop this.
And you can't
blame better get your ass up.
Can't blame anyone else. So when I put my kids in challenging positions, I make them wrestle up 2, 3 years, 4 years. I put them in very challenging positions. I think adversity creates monsters, creates, you know, we live in a very soft world.
Oh, yeah.
Where people want to talk about their feelings.
It's getting softer every day.
Well, you know, why, you know, I said this to a person the other day. They're like, man, I'm not feeling well today, man. I think I'm going to take off. I said, why don't you come to work today, get through it, and take a day off when you feel great, and go out on a boat or hang out with your girl? And they looked at me like I was nuts.
Right.
The best days I want to go into the office are the worst days I feel because that's a free day.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, I don't want to take off a sick day or a paid holiday or paid day
right.
just to sit at the house in the bed. Let's go do something.
No,
that's cool. Lance, I don't know that we stayed on necessarily a single topic. We talked a lot about a lot of just life in general, and I appreciate you being honest and open with everybody. If somebody wants to be out to you, I'm not even going to give them your information because they need to find it if they want it because that's going to be somebody that hustles. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm just kidding.
Where do they need to go? To
you just text me on my cell phone, 215-796-4393. 215-796-4393. Keep it right here all the time.
I appreciate you hanging out with us, man.
No problem.
I really
thank you guys for having me. I love your podcast. Love what you guys are doing. Love the digital agency, what you're building. You mean? So.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.